Thank you, Brother Steve. So at this time of the year, we have the privilege of it being seed time. And that's what I thought I would speak of, and that was laid on my heart, because of the blessedness and the sharing of people in our community in Illinois, and I suppose some of the people would share here too, and some of them are really sharing and have that spirit. God bless you for it. But in having fresh garden vegetables and boy, I love them green onions that come in early in spring. And of course, it's not that early already. We're in May already. The wheat is changing colors, and the corn looks so good down here. The people up in Illinois, they had tremendous floodwaters. Thousands of acres were underwater. And it's amazing how that most of that corn that was planted already has suffered through that water 2 and 3 feet deep in fields and acres of it. It's just amazing. But God has dried it up again. And it looks like it's going to survive, at least most of it. But anyhow, God is so good. And we always look forward to springtime. And now we're drifting right on into summer. And I hear people talking about this. It's going to be so hot we can hardly stand it this summer because the winter was so warm and that we're going to have a tough time. I said, hold on a little bit. You know, we're not in control. God is in control, and he will not give us more heat than we can survive. And I'm not talking about maybe some elderly people that would overcharge themselves. But anyhow, let's trust God. Let's just lay that on God and be like Daniel says. And sometimes we get approached with situations that we want to ask our friends to pray, just like Daniel did. Help us. Let's get together and pray that God would take over. And so, but for our reading, Bible reading, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. In the German, we would say it's in the Seemannschrift. And so we see here that in this chapter, we see Jesus sharing and talking, preaching about the kingdom, and a lot of people came together, and they were listening. They just enjoyed to listen to the Lord Jesus, and we enjoy to listen or to preach or to receive the word. And so it is. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalena, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, and listen to this, O dear people, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the, this red letter thing doesn't work so good with my eyes. The parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now that is a good selection of words that we can understand. This is a parable. And, we can just bless the Lord. I mean, it reminds me of Psalms 103, the first couple of verses where he says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Yeah, it's so easy for us to forget. And we get involved and let's say sometimes I just have to think, well, hey, Lord, please help me to get in the Word more. You know, we got our jobs, we're busy, but let us take time. Let us take time. Now this parable is the seed is the word of God, and that's something we really want to read and to listen and to thank God and to be unshakable like Daniel was. He would not give up. He would just simply stand on the premises that God was bringing him through. And so our hearts and minds are the seedbed. I hope you remember what was read. And our hearts and minds are the seedbed where the good seed of God's word needs to contact in order to grow. The word of God needs to make contact. Really, that's something that we don't want to forget. But that contact needs to be made. If the seed sprouts, and sometimes it doesn't continue. We get involved with other things. And we need to come back again. It's not the seed's fault. It's not God's word that is failing, but it's our failure to really get into the word. And Like verse 7 reads, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So, you know, that's, I think Matthew has a few different words in some of these that Luke did, but it chokes the word, and they don't bear fruit. Now, a person longing for spiritual growth must listen. We must listen to the word of God. And there's a deeper kind of listening than just hearing with the ear. And so he said, he that heareth, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear and truly hear what God is saying to us and what God is guiding us with these words to stay on course with God on that narrow way, traveling from earth to heaven. In Proverbs 2, verses 1-5, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide them, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. He says, my words, receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Jesus was very clear on his various words here and the different parts of the parable that he was saying. But he goes on here in Proverbs, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge, the knowledge of God. And so it is something, it was good for me to dig in here and be reminded again of the seed time and this parable that he gave. And when some fell on good ground, you know, preparation of the soil belongs to the individual. We must be in charge of that preparation, to have that seed really sprout. Here the other day, Mary Ann, our daughter-in-law, she took her hoe and went out to the garden, and she was going to hoe. She wanted to hoe around the tomato plants and around the corn and so forth. And she went down. I happened to walk outside at that time, and she took her hoe and she goes, bang. She says, Grandpa, I can't even get this hoe down through this hard crust. Well, see, they had 13 plus inches of rain, and I mean it really poured. And there was a crust of about an inch or a little more, and that was so hard she could not get that. She just couldn't get that hoe down through. Anyhow, so she got the tiller, and she got that crust all mashed up. And it kind of amused me when she put that tiller down, and that ground was so fluffy, her steps sunk in the good, nice soil, stepped right into them. It amused me. But she got it all cleared up. After she was all through the garden, the plants looked so good. Everything looked so nice. And so we need to do the preparations in order to get to this, and that belongs in our heart, in our mind, and in our soul. We love the Lord with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And again, I say the preparation of the soil is within our hearts and minds. If our hearts have stones of bitterness, if it has hate, if it has anger or jealousy, you know, All we need to do, I say all we need to do, we need to work with our own heart and mind and repent. Anything like that, where the stony ground, you know, it didn't go down deep. And so it was, as soon as the sun came out, it withered and died. And so, again, I say, if our hearts have stones of bitterness, hate, anger, or jealousy, we need to repent and come back to true faith in God's holy word. The good seed cannot become rooted and grounded in an unrepented heart. I'm not talking about the ground. I'm talking about our hearts. And truly, that's where it needs to change at times. Let us not lose heart. Let us take heart and continue on in the love of God. If we nurture, the word will help us to choke out those thorns that crowded out the things that the good seed could not grow. And we need to get rid of those stones and any hatred. And, you know, God will give us new seeds as well. He gives us new points from the Holy Scriptures. And sometimes I hadn't even thought of that when you read the Scriptures. And so, God is good. But if we plant good seeds, they will grow. And God's word will help us to choke out those thorns and get rid of the stones so the roots have softer soil to grow in. That is very necessary. Our God is so good. He gives us food, and shelter, and raiment, and many things. And if we care for the little plants, he will give us new seeds, and we can go ahead, and he will also trust us with the ability to care for those in a way that we can grow to more faithfulness and fruitfulness. So this is important, very important. You know, I've had thoughts through this study that I had, forgotten a lot of times the importance. Yeah, we have these gardens and we got to keep the weeds out and so forth. But God wants to work in our hearts. Grace and peace are multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. And this is great knowledge. He will give us abilities to care for the seed that we are seeding when we're reading. That is so important in our hearts, that our hearts would be soft, that soft ground where the seed can really grow. So again, I say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, it is really nice when a garden does real well. We take care of it. And this morning I noticed that we got the giant flowers. They get about this tall. I forget the name of them, but y'all know it's the ones we had on our table when Louise and I got married. And boy, they are so nice. They got a whole string of blooms coming up on those things anyhow. It's so nice. But God has given us exceeding grace and precious promises. Let us stand on the firm foundation, knowing that he is God, and according as his divine power has given to us all things. Do you realize that? All things that pertaineth to life and godliness, and to glory and virtue, whereby we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, to worship God is to realize the purpose for which God has created us. You know, God has called us, saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to what we do anyhow, but according to his purpose and grace that he brought us into the world. He has a purpose for every one of you, great and small, young or old. And so may we, my prayer is that we can all do the work that he actually brought us into this world to do. Each individual has a special place. God does not throw it out anywhere, but to people, and people that would really and truly cover that situation or that purpose for which he has brought us into the world. And so the parable is real interesting. And so what are we doing about it? Are we negligent, or are we ambitious? Are we really thinking not only about our garden, corn and tomatoes, and I look forward to them tomatoes when they get nice and red and we get nice juicy sandwiches. That is so wonderful. It's a gift of God, and we love that. So what are we doing about the garden? We want to take care of it. We want to get the weeds out. But how about our heart, in our heart and mind? You know, let's be diligent. So what are we doing? God has told us, you know, for it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And so let us, you know, I'm thinking about, well, I've got a boss in the butcher shop. That's my son. But anyhow, he's pretty good too. He's not a real boss. He's not real bossy. But so is God. He's loving and kind. And if your boss, whoever is, you know, say the boss or the manager or whatever, whether it's your dad or a teacher, you know, it would give you a list of things to do and then left you alone. What would you do? What are you doing? You know, that teacher, school is out already now, but the teacher comes by and looks down at some of the boys and girls. Paper, what are you doing? Well, the job wasn't done. And you might say, well, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I forgot. I was too busy with my own things. The others discouraged me. And I was afraid I couldn't do the job right. So I didn't do it at all. That's things. Well, maybe we could translate that to our taking care of our blessings that God has really poured on us. Or we might say, no one else done it like that. None of these excuses, you know, are going to work. None of these excuses that we give is going to work. And we may even say, I didn't expect you just yet to come by. So he's just poking around. So we have a Lord and Master that walked on this earth, He gave us work and then left. Yes, he gave us talents. And he says, work until I come. What are we doing? What are we doing in our days that we have? You know, he left us, he gave us work to do, and he said he'll be coming back again. Yes, and we're looking forward to that. Too often people think that they have more time and they just do it later, and they neglect using those talents. The Lord gave us duties that can be called talents. We know the story of the talents and so forth. God never gives us more than we can handle. He'll be with us. He said, I'll be with you every day. Yes, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. A demanding earthly master may expect too much, but God gives us grace enough. Grace enough to take care of the things that he has given us to do, and to not wander away in other things that we should not. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we can still do things that are undone. Let's get them done. Let's not let it lay. Let's not let it crowd out things that you know, that we know, that we need to do. We can visit the sick. We can help the poor. Support a mission. Encourage the distressed. Bless them that persecute us. Give somebody a drink. Oh, you know, the list could go on. Let us be occupied in God's work. No, God never overwhelms us with duties, but he expects us and enables us to go to work. Excuses will never be accepted, brothers and sisters. Excuses, you know. We have some other parts of the Bible that says we can find out that this excuses will not work. So let us ask ourselves, me first. What I say here, what I teach here today is for me first, and then for those that have ears to hear. Again, I say excuses will not be accepted. Let us ask ourselves, before Jesus returns and asks, what are you doing? So it's very important that we keep busy, not only in our work line here on earth, but in our progress of walking with God and doing the things that he wants us to do. I appreciated what Ralph said this morning. He shared about the tree that is by Living Waters and so forth. You know, the 23rd Psalm, it said he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, bringeth forth his fruit in due season, and his leaves also shall not Psalm 1, yeah, I said that wrong, the 23rd Psalm. Well, I appreciated Norman in having us really recite that a number of times, and of course the 23rd Psalm is the same one anyhow. But anyhow, I had read that very scripture and was going to include that, but Ralph got it done, so I don't have to. But you remember, how many of you remember when we had the youth fellowship meetings here, that we talked about the planting of the Lord, trees, chapter 61. I want to read a few verses here concerning the growing and the planting and the growing. In chapter 61 of Isaiah 61, and it's he says the office of Christ here in the heading, and the restoration and blessedness of the church. We're not going to read all of that. I'll just probably read the first three verses. But chapter 61 of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called, notice this, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Oh, I remember so well the teaching that brethren that preached when the youth were here, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Glorifying God would be so wonderful. Trees of righteousness. Now that is trees that grow, trees that have water, trees that are fed, and of course, and he says the trees of righteousness, they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Jesus says, now I'm not sure where that verse is, he says, every plant that I have not planted will be rooted out. Am I right on that verse? I'm not sure on that verse. But anyhow, the trees that he plants and they don't bring forth fruit, he takes them out. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. How do we distinguish the right kind of fear? Not being afraid of the tornado or something like that comes, but the fear of God, true righteous and godly fear. And I'm sure you have heard me share this earlier in the past anyhow. True righteous and godly fear is recognized by three things. And again, it brings deep conviction of sin. True righteous and godly fear brings deep conviction of sin. And when Holy Spirit conviction comes, sin becomes exceeding sinful. Really. Lord help us. And number two, it leads to repentance and saving faith in Christ. It creates in the soul a holy reverence for God, for his word and his way, keeping the heart tender and causing one to shrink from anything that would turn one's life from Christ. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Encourage the enemy to speak reproachfully or bring dishonor to the name of Christ. That is so important, the true, righteous, and godly fear. Yes, we want to give ourselves wholly unto the Lord and let him rule and reign in our hearts. I want to maybe get a little personal with me and with you in closing. You know, my heart is a garden where thought flowers grow. The thoughts that I think are seeds that I sow. Every kind loving thought that I think bears a kind loving deed, And a thought that is selfish is just like a weed. So I must watch what I think each minute, each day, pull out the weed thoughts and throw them away. The plant-loving thought and plant-loving thoughts so thick in a row that there will not be room for weed thoughts to grow. Your heart is the same way. My heart is a garden where thought flowers grow. Let us take heed in these things. And Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And in our day and time, there's so many things that want to enter in and get us off course of really sharing or actually entertaining good seeds, good thoughts. The devil wants to plant evil thoughts in our mind. Let us take heed and seek God, the unshakable God that Daniel served. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." He says, "For he that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." Oh, we want all that, dearly beloved. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due time, we shall, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. God be praised for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of man. Let us trust and not be afraid. Let us fear God and let him use us and get rid of those evil thoughts and plant loving seed thoughts so thick in a row there will not be room for any weed thoughts to grow. God bless you for your prayers. Thank you, and do continue to pray for us. We are like-minded. Let us kneel for prayer.